Father, we thank you as we look into your word this morning. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding, dear Lord, we pray. Oh, open our eyes to behold wondrous things from your word. And help us to mix faith with that which we hear, so that we may be doers of your word and not hearers only. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into all truth, now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Job chapter 22, I'll begin to read from verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Please underline that in your Bible before we go on. And I'll encourage you, when you get home, study from verse 1 of this chapter of the book of Job. Because this was Eliphaz's own counsel that he gave to Job. Well, the counsel was good, but it was wrongly applied. The counsel was given to the wrong person. Because Eliphaz made a great mistake along with the other two friends of Job that were trying in their own human understanding to offer counsel to Job and judging him, thinking that, well, Job, you know, stop fooling yourself. You say you're a righteous man. Look at all your problems. How can you be righteous and you have all this trouble? You need to repent, Job. Stop fooling yourself. You call yourself a righteous man. And you are going through all this. Can't you even see that you have a problem? That's my paraphrase. Can't you see you have a problem? Righteous people don't go through what you are going through. You see, they lack understanding. Even Job himself truly didn't understand why he was going through what he was going through. But today we know better. Thank God for precedents that we can go to in scripture and learn the truth from that and understand things that we would not have been able to understand otherwise. We all know that Job was a righteous man because the Bible calls him a righteous man. But Job was suffering affliction, which the devil brought against him. Hallelujah. So the friends of Job were wrong. Because to them, Job was not righteous. How many people know that even today in the church, some people will judge you wrongly when you are going through trouble? They will say, well, the reason why you have your problems is because you must have some sin somewhere. some little sin in a corner. Stop fooling yourself. You see, they are ignorant people. They don't understand the ways of God. Just like Jesus said, don't worry about what they are saying. Don't let what they are saying move you. In fact, you should be praying for them. I say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are saying or what they are doing. Open their eyes to understand the dimensions of the Spirit better. Hallelujah. Because many times, Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Isn't that so? Not even sinners. Well, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we sow some bad seed and reap some bad harvest for that. Well, that's our own doing. But many other times we have not done anything wrong and yet we have problems. And that is why it becomes very dangerous for any of us as Christians to judge another person. That's why the Bible says for us as Christians, don't judge. The people of the world will do that. They don't understand. But for us, don't judge any matter before the time. Why? Because you don't understand everything about what is going on. Only God does. Only God does. So if you don't understand something, just pray. It's better for you to pray for the person than to judge them. Because you don't understand everything about it. Hallelujah. Here, Eliphaz judged Job wrongly. And the irony of it all, in fact, let us read now. You'll see the irony of it. But where we are going this morning again is the counsel he gave is the right counsel, but wrongly applied. So we can learn from the counsel. That is godly counsel. But it was wrongly applied in the sense that the person that it was applied to had no sin and had not done all the things that Eliphaz was accusing him of. You see, when we lean on our own human understanding or go by our own self-righteousness, we'll misjudge others. Now look at, in fact, let's back up to some verses before that and we'll see how Eliphaz got it totally wrong. Totally wrong. In fact, thank God for God's mercy. God rebuked Eliphaz later and rebuked all the other friends of Job and told them, well, if my servant, that's my paraphrase, if my servant doesn't pray for you, you're in trouble. Because you've used your mouth to say things that are wrong against him. You judge him wrongly. If he doesn't pray for you, you're in trouble. Thank God Jesus prayed for us on the cross. We would all have been in trouble today. We have to understand these things. They are things of the Spirit, and we must understand how to walk in them. Now back up with me. Look at what the Bible says here. Back up with me right there in chapter 22. Let's go to verse 5. It says, is not thy wickedness great? How many people know that Job was not a wicked man? But Eliphaz said, well, your wickedness is great. That's why you have all this trouble. Is not thy wickedness great and thy iniquities infinite? He would say, well, your sins are too many. That's why you have so much problems. Job, you were a very rich man. The richest man before, but now look at you, you are the poorest man on earth. Your wives have left you. Your children, where are they? All your goods, where are they? Look at yourself, you are full of sickness and disease. How can you say you are righteous? Well, they were wrong. All the friends of Job were wrong. Again, look at it, verse 5. Is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquity is infinite? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught. Now, was Eliphaz there seeing Job do all these things? How come he's accusing him of doing them? You see, when we begin to use this mind, the devil gets in there and makes us think the wrong thoughts without us realizing. So as far as Eliphaz was concerned, Job had done all these things. That's why he's having all the problems here. For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink. And thou hast withheld them bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he heard the hearth, and the honorable man dwell in it. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the hands of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore, snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubles thee. Oh, God have mercy on us. Hallelujah. Well, let's go back to where we were, back to verse 21. This is good counsel. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby, please underline your Bible, thereby good shall come unto thee. God has promised that he will rejoice over us to do us good this year. And I tell you, this year is going to be a great year for the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's why God is asking us to put in place the basic platform that will allow him to bring to pass his plans for our lives. The first thing we need to ensure as we go through the year is this requirement to acquaint ourselves with God. The word acquaint there actually means to get into intimacy with God. Get closer to him. Become a companion of God. Become a friend of God. You see, Abraham, Bible says, was a friend of God. That was why God dealt with Abraham in a very special way. In fact, when God was going to do something on the earth, what did God say? Shall I hide what I want to do from my friend Abraham? Nobody else knew. But God went to Abraham and told him, this is what I want to do. And Abraham began to intercede. Hallelujah. You see, why? Because Abraham had a heart that was after God. God was able to locate him even in the midst of idolatry that he was born into in his family. And God separated him. God works with the heart. And when he finds a heart that is after him, just the same way he found David, when nobody knew David, as far as people knew, all they knew about David was that he was just a shepherd boy. One that was smelling, so he shouldn't be amongst, you know, the people. He should be with the sheep because he's smelling like sheep. But God saw a king there where nobody saw a king, because God can see the heart. Hallelujah. People may look at you and see nothing, but God sees you as special. You better don't listen to what people are saying. You just focus on your God and choose within your own heart to be closer to God. And don't listen to people's comments, because the devil is going to raise people like he raised the friends of Job to try to discourage you from your walk with God. If you listen to them, you allow them to slow you down. God said, behold your God. Take your eyes off what people are saying and your ears off what they are saying. And just focus on God. You know, Job did that, didn't he? That's why Bible mentions the faithfulness of Job and the blessing of God that came to him at the end. Remember that even the wife of Job came to him at one point and he said, curse God. Curse God and die. In other words, you are better dead than living. I mean, things could not have been worse than that for Job. It's one thing for your friends to be standing afar from you, people who are close to you before. Now they are standing afar and they are blaming you for doing what you have not done. Well, you can still say, well, those are just my friends anyway. But when your own wife now turns to you and say, well, just curse God and die. In other words, I can't even stay with you anymore. I'm gone. For your information, I'm off. And take my advice. You curse God and I can't wipe you. You are better dead than living. I mean, things cannot go worse than that. You can read about these things, but when you meditate in them, you try to reflect on how Job will be feeling at that point in time. This is somebody who is already down. You know, we often say that when somebody is down, don't kick them again, but this is getting a kick when you're already down. Rubbing salt into the wound and really making things worse for you. But thank God, Job answered the way many of us will probably not answer today. Job said, no, even though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. You see the key? I don't understand. But one thing I know to do is to trust in God. He's a good God. And therefore, at the end of the day, God's goodness will prevail for me. Don't you realize that one sentence Job made touched the heart of God in heaven? That was why God himself was able to boast about Job before Satan and said, have you considered my servant Job? He called him my servant. Satan said, well, you know, the reason why he's serving you is because you are good to him. You take all the good things you've given him away, and you see why would that? But God knew Job more than the devil knew. You see, the devil doesn't know everything. God knows everything. God knew right from the beginning that Job would never deny him, even in the midst of his trial. The devil didn't understand that. The devil thought, well, if God takes all these good things away, Job is not going to follow God anymore. So God said, well, it's in your hands. Go and take everything, but don't take his life. In other words, I want to prove to you, Satan, that this my servant Job is faithful to me. Thank God for Job. Thank God for his faithfulness. And thank God for the lesson we can learn from him here. But you see, We have to make a choice individually. Eliphaz was right again in the counsel he gave, but he was wrong in the application of that counsel. This is right counsel. This will bring blessing to every one of us. When we walk with God, and we see that clearly with Job himself, he walked with God, the blessings of God were with him, and when the devil came to take everything away, Job kept walking with God, and the latter end of Job was better than the beginning. So when we acquaint ourselves with God, good things will come our way. Hallelujah. So I encourage you to make that personal choice this new year and say, I'm going to walk closer to God this year than the previous years of my life. I'm going to make a choice to spend more time in the Word of God this year than ever before. I'm going to make a choice to spend more time in prayer this year than ever before. That's how to get yourself acquainted with God. You don't get to know God without searching the Scriptures. Because none of us have seen God before. But the more time you spend in the Word of God, the more God himself will reveal himself to you. Because he sees your hunger. He sees your thirst. One of the very first things Jesus said in his preaching on the mount, which we call the Sermon on the Mount, was, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. So you determine the degree to which God fills you up with himself by your hunger. Hallelujah. And so acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. In other words, be in harmony with God. Don't go against God. Don't rebel against him. Even when pressure comes against your life, don't turn away from God. Maintain that consistency of intimacy with God in the midst of affliction, because the devil will send affliction our ways. The purpose of the devil is to get us to slow down, get us to turn back, get us to backslide, and get us to say, well, this business of walking with God is not paying me. Before, when I was without God, things were better. But since I've drawn closer to God, all hell have broken loose. And true, when you begin to move closer to God, all hell will break loose. Because the devil knows you are now a threat to his kingdom. He's going to send more wicked demons against you. But you have to realize that God who is with you is greater than the devil. So don't let that bother you. No matter what the devil does, at the end of the day, the devil is working for God's purpose in your life without him realizing. Did he not try to mess Joseph up too? At the end of the day, did he not turn out that he was actually helping Joseph fulfill his dream? He tried to mess Job up. But don't you see that the messing of the devil turned into double-fold blessing for Job? Well, don't worry about what the devil brings against your life. Just remain faithful to God. At the end of the day, it's going to turn around for good for you and bring more blessings your way. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. So make up your mind to draw closer to God this year than ever before. Verse 22 says, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. That's how to get yourself acquainted with God. You do that by spending time in the Word of God, getting to know God through his Word, beholding clearly what the ways of God are, according to the Scriptures, rather than the ways of man in the world around you. We are in the world. We are not of the world. Bible says we must not be conformed to the world, but we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So when we spend time in the Word of God, we'll get to know God better. And you know what? James says, draw near to God. God will do what? Draw near to you. When you begin to decide to go closer to God in intimacy, God will respond by drawing closer to you. And he will choose you as his friend. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't you realize God is still looking for friends? Like he was looking for in Abraham's generation. Well, some of you think, well, that was Abraham. Well, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even Jesus in John chapter 15, what did he say concerning his disciples? He said, I don't call you my servants anymore. Because a servant does not really know the secret things of the master. But I've called you my friends. Why? Because every secret thing that I know, I have shared with you. We know the same now. We are friends. Hallelujah. Which tells us that when we draw closer to God, God begins to bring revelation to us that he doesn't give to anyone else. Bible says the secret things of God, they are with those that fear him. To them, he will reveal his covenant. So you can determine to be one that enters into revelation knowledge of God more by drawing close to him. God is no respecter of persons. Because he can trust you more because you are intimate with him. You know his ways better. He can tell you secret things which you will keep secret. You know, there are many people in the world, if you tell them your secret, in fact, before the day dawns, you hear it all over the place. Those are no good people. They are dangerous people. So God himself knows the heart of man. He's not going to give you secret when he knows that you can't keep secret. Imagine what would have happened in the revelation he gave, for instance, to John. And he told him to seal it up at one point. He would never have done that to John if he didn't know John as someone that would keep secret. Remember also Daniel. Remember in the book of Daniel, there was a point God told him, seal it up. In other words, keep it secret. Remember? So God knows the hearts of men. And when you begin to draw closer to him, you will be able to trust him more, and he also can trust you more. Because there is intimacy now, there is friendship, there is closeness that you can't get by any other means. And you begin to enter into secret revelations of God. And when he tells you, well, I've shown you this, but don't say it to anybody else, you keep it. Until you go back to him, it stays in here. You don't tell anyone else. And the things he tells you to tell, you tell those ones. Hallelujah. And don't tell, when God gives you a secret, you better don't go tell anybody else. You know, there are some people that have messed up big time. Messed up in the sight of God without them knowing. You know, some people will tell them secret thing that they are supposed to keep secret and just take to God in their own personal prayer life. They will say, okay, I'll go to a prayer meeting. I'll go to prayer vigil. Then they'll go and tell others in the prayer vigil, let's pray for such a person. God didn't tell you to go and tell it in prayer vigil. Because by the time you tell it in prayer vigil, everybody already knows. No. God gave you that secret. That person told you in secret, in confidence. You keep it confidential. It's only you that will take that thing to God in prayer and say, oh God, send help to my sister. Send help to my brother. That thing is shared with me. You know about it, oh God. We are in agreement. Don't tell any other person. Don't say, well, I'll take it to intercessors. The intercessors that you think are intercessors, they are, they are something else. By the time they leave the prayer vigil, they'll tell, that one will tell another friend, say, hey, let me tell you one thing. Just pray for the person who is in big trouble. Just stay pray. By the time, before you know it, everybody already knows the secret. No, that's not the way. God will give you some things that he wants you to keep secret. Please keep it secret. Your friends will tell you some things they want you to keep secret. Please keep it secret. Don't tell somebody else. Don't say, I'll tell an intercessor. Most of them are not genuine people. Do you know the heart of men? You know? Hallelujah. So God wants friends. And you can determine to be one of the friends of God. And I encourage every one of us in this church to be friends of God. Good things lie in wait for us. God is going to do great things. Great things for us. Hallelujah. He is no respecter of persons, but he respects those who honor him. Hallelujah. When you honor him, he will honor you in return. Now, verse 23, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Well, Eliphaz is right. When you begin to walk with God in the depth that he wants us to walk with him, he will reward you. He rewarded Abraham. Abraham was great. He rewarded Isaac. Isaac was great. He rewarded Jacob. Jacob was great. He rewarded David. David was great. He rewarded Solomon. Solomon was great. You know, God's plan for us as a church is to be great people here on earth. We are children of the Almighty God. But for us to walk in those things, God demands that we draw closer to him. Then he can trust us with those riches of his kingdom. Because when we know God and then he makes us rich, we won't use the riches against him. And we won't go and consume it on our own lust. We'll still be thinking of God first. And I know many Christians, when we're back in Nigeria, who are very diligent, very close. In fact, they will be in church every day. But when they came to this country and I saw them, they weren't going to church anymore. And I said, what are you doing? He said, you know, there are bills to pay. I have to work on Sundays. And I said, well, you need to repent. Where's your zeal? You've lost it. This was someone that every day, you know, back in Nigeria, you go out church every day. We come to church every single day. But not even to go one day a week. It's a hard thing for the guy. So, you know, this country, I didn't know it would be so hard. There are bills. I said, well, you continue to have bills to pay and you'll never be able to pay them until you return to God and give him the honor you like. Why? Because the devil is a tactician. He uses tactics to draw you away from God. He'll tell you, well, when you walk on Sunday, you get double pay. But by the time you get the double pay, the devil will steal it from you. So you have to go and walk more and more and more and more. The devourer is eating the thing. Whereas if you honor God, God blesses even the little you have. And you still have left over at the end of the month. I know people who hand big, but they're always broke. And I know people who hand little, but they're always having surplus. What's the difference? The blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you walk with God, the blessings will come. Didn't Jesus say, seek ye first the kingdom of God? You see, God knows you have need of these things. He's not going to deprive you of them. He will bless you with them. You honor God. You begin to put God number one. And keep your covenant with God. God says, well, if you walk, 10% of your income is mine. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And if you don't give him that, you are robbing him. The devil says, well, if you pay 10%, you won't be able to pay your bills. Well, the devil is the one robbing you without you knowing. Because by the time you disobey God, the blessings are not there for you. And you have to toil and keep toiling. And the more you toil, the more the devil robs you. He begins to bring unexpected expenses your way. And then the money is gone. Then you have to tell you, well, go and get more. Go and get more. And you keep going round and round in circles. Well, you begin to honor God and see how the difference will come. Didn't God say, prove me herewith? Prove me. If God says, prove him, you better don't even entertain doubts about that. Because God knows how to make fish swim into your net when you've toiled all night and you couldn't catch anything. God can command the blessings upon you. And when God commands the blessings, nobody can stop it. Abraham tithed. And look at how great he became. And nobody even preached to Abraham to tithe before he knew to tithe. See, when your heart is with God, the Holy Spirit will guide you. People who are dishonoring God with tithe is because they don't really have a heart for God. They don't understand. Abraham tithe, Isaac tithe, Jacob tithe, and the law of tithe had not even come then. How did they know? Abraham, Bible says, gave tithe to Melchizedek. And that was Jesus appearing to him. He didn't even know. But he knew that this was a priest of God. And he tithed unto him. And look at how God blessed him. But the devil says, well, don't become a fanatic. Don't go that close. Because at the end of the day, you become broke. And when you are broke, well, they'll throw you out of your house. You lose your job. You become a nobody. Well, is there no God in heaven? The God who feels the best of the hair? The God who clothed the lily of the valley? Didn't Jesus say you have even greater value than those ones? O ye of little faith? How come we allow the devil to come in and rob us? God says, well, you acquaint yourself with me. God wants to do great things in the church. I'm telling you. Because he has promised so many things for the church of Jesus Christ in these last days. Even the wealth of the sinners, Bible says, they are laid up for the just. Isn't that so? Well, I don't know about you. I'm waiting for that to come my way. Not for me to consume it on my lust, but for me to use it to the glory of God. There's so much work to do for the glory of Christ before Jesus returns. And you know, we need money to get this job done. We need, as long as we're in this world, we need money. And God is going to bring the money into the church. And it's going to come into your hands, because the church is not a building. The church is people. Which means the money is going. Imagine if all of us who are seated here this morning are billionaires. Which devil can stop us from accomplishing the will of God? We have all the resources to get the job done to the glory of God. That's why the devil takes the money, puts it in the hands of sinners. And those sinners go and lay them up in big bank accounts. Some of them even hide them in secret accounts, offshore accounts, they call them. But let me show you a scripture. I wake up every morning and say, God, thank you for what they are laying up for the church. Because soon as, very soon, every penny is coming into the church. Because God says so. Put your finger right here. We are coming back to Job. You begin to pray every morning when you wake up and say, God, so those sinners are working for me. Oh, God, give them more labor. Let them store more. And then when the time comes, bring it into my hands. Glory to God, because your church will be glorified here on earth. We need to begin to take the word of God, believe it, and go back to God and say, God, do what you have said. That's what God is waiting for. That's the pattern we find with everybody that walk with God in the Bible, from Old Testament to the New. They took the word of God and stood before him in prayer and said, God, you said, now do it. God wants us to prove him. The church of Jesus must be the head and not the heart, not the tail. But we are the ones not doing our own part for God to fulfill his part. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes. Oh, Katabletos here. Thank you, Almighty God, for your eternal purpose concerning your church in all generations. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. This is Solomon with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that God gave to him. Verse 26, let us read together. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. Let's read together. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Well, please underline your Bible. But to the sinner, he giveth travail to gather and to heap up. Heap up for what purpose? That it may come into the hand of those who are good before God. So all those money that the people of the world have stolen, all the money that they have oppressed the innocent in order to gain, is laid up for the just. It's laid up for the just. Bible also says the same thing in Proverbs. Remember? A good man giveth an inheritance to his children's children. But what happens to the sinner? The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, Bible says. It's coming. God is going to bring the money into the hands of his own people. And that is why he's calling us to draw closer to him. You better lift your hands to God and thank him. A supply is coming your way that you didn't work for. Somebody else is working hard to bring you riches. God himself will bring it into your hands. Let's go back to Job. That's why what Eliphaz said is correct, but it's misapplied to the wrong person. Job had not sinned. So he is not deprived of these things because of his sin. It was a temporary deprivation by the devil, but God had a plan to restore all things back to Job, doublefold. Thank God for that. Again, if thou return, verse 23, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles, then thou shalt lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Oh, how many people quote this scripture? I mean, I've had many people quote this scripture. Oh, I will decree it, and the righteous shall decree it, and it shall be established. Yes, true, but it only work when the righteous acquaint themselves with God. Otherwise, you'll be decreeing something, nothing is happening. Because the power of God is not in it. It's like firing empty bullets. No live ammunition in it. If God does not supply the power, you don't have it. Power belongs to God. And God supplies to those who acquaint themselves to him. Acquaint themselves with him. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. Hallelujah. Well, we are in for some good time this year. But there is responsibility. Behold your God. That's responsibility. What happens if I don't behold him? Forget about all the other promises. It's not going to happen. Hey, I have to set my heart on God. Give all my attention to God. Make God my number one priority. And then all the promises that he has given become available for me to possess as a reward. The blessings of God come to us as reward for our obedience. Without obedience, we don't get these things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands to him this morning. And let's thank him. Let's thank him for grace. Grace is available for us to do everything he has asked us to do in his word. You and I cannot do it in our own strength. But we have to show God that we are willing to do it his own way. As long as we are willing to do it his way, he will give us the grace to do these things. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands to him and thank him for grace and turn with me. While we are thanking him, each one of us, we are going to ask God for grace this morning. Grace to do what we have just shared. Grace to draw closer to the Lord this year than ever before. Because God has great things in store for us. God wants to bless us this year more than ever before. But it demands our cooperation, our willingness to do exactly as he says we should do. Draw closer to him. Behold him. Set our focus, our attention on him as the number one priority. And begin to do everything that he has asked us to do the way that pleases him. We are not here to please ourselves. We are here to please the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We are children of the kingdom of God. We are in the world. We are not of this world. God has delivered us from the kingdom of this world and translated us, Bible says, into the kingdom of his dear son. And we are to walk in the kingdom ways, God's own kingdom. Verse 28, let's read together. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hallelujah. Why? Because if we read it in the context in which God is saying these things, he's actually preparing his church to show a clear difference between the church and the world. And it's going to happen in these last days. That's why there's a great urgency in the Spirit. And everyone that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, they will be able to hear what the Spirit is saying and respond. There's urgency in the realm of the Spirit because God wants to do a great work in the church. But he needs to get us to be awake and to put our house in order. Let me put it that way. He wants to do great things in the church. Look at it in the context from verse 25. At least we can pick it from there. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that speaketh on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And then we can read it on to the verse that we read in the context. It's in the midst of the shaking. You and I don't need the prophet to tell us things are being shaken in the world today. Everything is being shaken. The evil governments don't know what to do anymore. There's confusion everywhere. People are looking for solution. They can't find it. But in the midst of it, there is the church of Jesus with all the answer. There is the kingdom of God here on earth that cannot be shaken. And you and I are citizens of that kingdom. And God wants to make the difference with you and with me. And that's why he's waking us up to get close to him. And then he can walk through us to show the whole world that the solution they are looking for is only in Christ and the people of God in the world. They can't find it elsewhere. They can only find it in God. But we need the grace of God. That's why it then says in verse 20, wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, or which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. Let us have grace. So go ahead, lift your hands to God and say, God, give me grace. Give me grace to do your will. Give me grace to serve you in the manner that pleases you. Give me grace to draw closer to you day by day. Give me grace, oh God, to walk in obedience to your ways and enjoy the best that you have for me in all areas of my life. It's a simple prayer. But it's powerful. Go ahead and ask him.